Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
We started thinking of adoption years ago when I was in my car, heard a radio show from Stephen Kirsch Chapman. He was just talking about the orphans and how many girls were in China and the conditions of the orphanage and what their lives were like. And I just knew that one day we needed to do that. We signed up, we got logged in China, and then started waiting. And the wait grew and grew. The line started getting longer and China started slowing down. So we switched to special needs.
The process of selecting a child is, you don't select a child, you know, this is who your child is to be, and that's the way it was. And so it was decided, here we are. And who knew that her condition at, you know, when you hear the word spina bifida, and certainly there are various levels of severity, hers is fairly minor, and she'll have some limitations throughout the rest of her life, but she'll never know any difference. And for us to be able to have her and to provide for her, I don't really consider her a special needs baby whatsoever. You know, you're dealing with a child and a life, and to have, you know, this file of Wesley Jane come to us, you couldn't say no.
We just decided this is our leap right here, and so we took it.
We actually made the trip to China January a year ago to get Wesley. The boys were 13, 11, and 8. It became a whole family journey, because from the commitment to do it and the enthusiasm from the boys was tremendous. And then going to even naming, you know, how do we come up with Wesley Jane? Well, you know, we have a house full of boys, Wesley. There we go. We compromised on that. But it was the boys who really took ownership. And the biggest impact, and I've said this to many people, you knew you were going to make a difference in a little girl's life. That was easy. And everybody would expect that you could take somebody from this situation and provide a life that they would have never known. But the biggest impact is the way the boys have responded. And this is what I've told people: to never have I known as a father the characteristics of our three boys until bringing home a little girl who, house full of boys, bringing home a little girl to see signs and characteristics of them has been by far the greatest blessing of all. It's just to have been able to recognize things in our boys that we would have never probably known.
Life-changing for all of us. Oh, we're about to do it again. Gracie was not planned, but I was asked by a friend to help her with an organization who sponsors foster children in China. I said, sure, no big deal. She sent me a bunch of pictures for me to look through, and there's this one picture that just hit me. And she's beautiful, and I showed Richard, and I said, oh my gosh, look at this little girl on my computer. Is she not the cutest thing ever? Oh yeah, she's cute. I show him pictures all the time. They're all adorable.
Hey, the more the merrier. And when you see the impact of one, why not another?
Adoption is one of my favorite words in the whole vocabulary. And I think it's a great parallel to how God has adopted us into His family. We've all been adopted. And I just think that that's living out the gospel. I didn't want to live my life and look back and say, gosh, I missed it. I missed it. I missed the one thing that I knew that I was called to do, and I didn't do it.
Caring for orphans is very close to the heart of God. Together, we can make an eternal impact in the life of a precious child. His Heart for Orphans, Children's Cup, and Mission of Mercy, making a difference in an orphan's life.
Wow, that's so cool. That is great, 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 great. That's amazing, amazing, amazing. Just to be able to see that and to hear that story and to know that family and to watch what they have walked through. And so many other families in our church. It's just such a God story. Why don't we clap our hands again for all those that have kind of seen their pictures and got to hear their story. It's kind of neat. It's good to see you today. You can tell that this weekend, I really believe, has a special touch on it because we're going to talk so much about the heart of God as it relates to reaching children. And we're talking a lot about children, especially those that have no home. And, you know, that can we can make a difference in so many different ways. We've talked about a little bit locally, how locally we can make a difference through foster care and His heart for orphans and just people here in our church. You have a heart for that you can connect with even after the service. But then also globally, the difference that we make globally. And I love what's happening in our kids' district area and to see the change that's taking place with our own children, putting an emphasis and putting a priority there. And then also being a part, as Johnny talked about, the Louisiana foster care statistics. And all those numbers always represent a person. They always represent a life, an individual story. How important it is that we're aware of that, because you just don't want to be able to know that things are going on around you. In a church like this, with so many people that come to it, and resources, doing everything we can to be a part of that locally. But then also we have a heart to make a difference around the world and loving children, bringing hope to them in Jesus. And so it's great to have Ben Rogers with us, who is he has a lot of roles. He's our Healing Place Church campus pastor in Swaziland. He heads up Children's Cup, and he's also a representative for Mission of Mercy, which helped us sponsorship. Why don't we clap our hands for all the hats that he's wearing as it relates to children? And then it's also great to have Mark Plummer with us, who's the president of Mission of Mercy. They sponsor every month and take care of about 40,000 children around the world. And we've partnered up with them as a church to say, how can we resource? How can we be a part of that? And Ben is here on behalf of Mission of Mercy, as well as being on the ground there in Africa, connecting children that we sponsor here with our campus, as well as with the Mission of Mercy program and the care points that Children's Cup does. And when you hear all this, Ben, a lot of times as a person, you say, well, how can I make a difference? How can I get involved here with people that are so far away as it relates to global orphans and make a difference there? How does that happen? How can someone get involved? And what's going on with that?
Well, that's why I think that child sponsorship is such a cool thing, especially the way that we get to do it, because it's directly connected to our campuses in Africa.
Yeah.
Especially Isaac, many of you have heard about Pastor Isaac. We actually have a missions team there right now. That church is supported and helped through the child sponsorship. The first people that joined the church were the kids that were sponsored in that,
wow,
in that church. That's how HBC Mozambique got launched. But I would say this, that you know what? When you get involved in an orphan's life, you start to understand God's heart so much better.
Yeah.
You know, I know Pastor Johnny said this scripture just a little while ago. James 1:27 says this, pure religion, the kind of religion that God puts his stamp of approval on, is getting involved in an orphan and widow's life in their distress. And I believe as believers, that's kind of all our responsibility in one way or another, whether it's a local, being able to get a child adopted locally,
yeah,
or being able to sponsor a child internationally.
You and Susan had a heart, I know you, with the Oler King family, you had a heart to make a difference in Africa. And you went there to represent Children's Cup, and then the HBC campus, and then the opportunity of Mission of Mercy. You've been able, over this last really decade of being involved with that, of seeing that come together, because it's amazing how together we can do so much more than separated. And you've been able to bring those things together. How does that work? Connect those dots on how that helps a child.
Well, one thing that my father-in-law, many of you guys remember my father-in-law, Dave Oler King.
Yeah.
He was one of the most amazing missionaries, I believe, in recent days.
Yeah.
He believed a lot in strategic partnerships. And that is this, that you know what, together we can haul more weight than both of us could do individually.
Yeah.
And really that's what we're kind of doing with Mission of Mercy and Healing Place Church. And the best place to show you that example is in Mozambique. Because we were able to sponsor kids there, we were able to launch a church that's not just reaching those kids, but reaching an entire community of almost 5,000 people.
Wow.
Because of your willingness to get involved and say, hey, there's an individual child, I want to connect with that child and make a difference in their life. And it just expanded to an entire community. And this community is different. You go there now and you see Healing Place for a Hurting World all over the place.
Wow. Well, and I think that's what I love about it, church, because, you know, we've done a lot of different things. But you really want to make a lasting impact when you sow your resources and you give. And so being able to partner with Mission of Mercy and knowing that as you sow into a child and sponsor a child, you know where that child is living. You know who that child is being taken care of by. You know who that child's pastor is. Not only are we providing spiritual, but then also the physical need, the need for food and family, all those things. And that's what I love about the partnership.
And really, what we're trying to do is we're doing orphan care. Most of the kids that we're working with have been orphaned. They've lost one or both of their parents to HIV.
Yeah.
I mean, statistically, we know there are almost 50 million children in Africa that have lost parents. I mean, that would be the same as if you took every child from preschool up to university level in the United States. That's how big the issue is in Africa. But it may also be the greatest opportunity that we've had in the history of mankind to bring influence to the continent that is probably hurting more than any other continent in the world.
That's true.
And that's where we're asking you today to get involved. I remember a story from my father-in-law told me when I got involved with Children's Cup. He was involved in missions, and one day he was in a white suit and he was sitting down on a sidewalk somewhere, and this dirty little street kid came up to him and went to give him a great big huge hug, and he pushed him away. He pushed him away. And after that, God just started to deal with his heart.
Wow.
And just said, "What are you doing? That is me. That's Jesus." Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bible says in Matthew that when we do it to the least of these, we're doing it to Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus doesn't need food. Jesus doesn't need medical care. Jesus doesn't need education. Jesus doesn't need all those things. But you know what? There are thousands of little kids that
do.
There are hundreds of kids here locally that do. And that's where we're just wanting to ask you to get involved today.
Yeah.
You know what? And God changed my father-in-law's heart. He spent the rest of his life every day thinking about how can I help more hurting kids.
That's fantastic. You know, as a church, we've always wanted to not just talk about problems or highlight issues. We've wanted to help be a part of the solution. So for 18 years, we've given to missions. 5 or 6 years ago, we got involved with child sponsorship. And I know Delin and I, we made a decision to sponsor one child. I think the next year we sponsored two more children, because in our heart, we wanted to sponsor as many children in this part of the world reaching as we had in our home. We have three children. I wanted to do all I could to make a difference in three other children's lives. And so for the last 3 to 4 years, we've been able to do that. And knowing personally, being connected, how does a person, maybe you're here and you say, you know, I want to sponsor a child. I want to be a part of that. I know you give, and out of your tithe, we do missions and you give over and above offerings. You're kingdom builders. And I thank God for that. But we like giving you an opportunity that every month you can connect to a child that really is a child that you sponsor and you stay connected with that. Walk somebody through today just for a minute. If you say, you know, I want to do that also, that's kind of the next level of what I want to do in my generosity.
Well, this is a great way for you not just to sponsor a child, but really to connect with a child and change their life. Most of these kids are without having a loving adult involved in their life because their parent has passed. They're living with some kind of extended family member. And we want to give you an opportunity today to connect with a specific child. And here in just a few minutes, we're going to give you that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to guide the ushers to hand you just the right packet with a child that God wants you to connect with.
So how can we do that, Ben? How does that work?
It costs $34 a month to sponsor a child. And just like we're talking about, that helps provide food, medical care, educational assistance, and also discipleship. And that's the part that we're really excited about, because when you help heal the hurts of those little kids' hearts, then they start to experience the love of Jesus. Then they start to get excited about purpose, and they start to have passion in life, and they understand their purpose is servolution. Can you believe this? Our orphans in Africa practice servolution. That will tear you up when you see 5 and 6 year old little kids carrying big logs on their head, helping widows, because now we're teaching them that they got to do the same thing.
That's fantastic.
That's how you break the cycle of hopelessness and poverty.
Amen.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're asking you to be part of.
That's fantastic. And you think about it, for the opportunity of $34 a month, which is a little over a dollar a day, you're able to sponsor a child. And we put those kids' pictures kind of where we could see, and we write letters to them, things like that.
And they do the same thing.
Yeah,
they you go into these mud stick houses, and you'll see your picture sitting there. And this child says, "That's my mommy. That's my daddy.
Wow.
These are my brothers."
Yeah.
Because that's as close of a connection to mommy as they have now.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really asking you, because it's not just sending a check. We're asking you, would you write letters to this child? Would you encourage them? Would you take them from a life of hopelessness to a life of hope? Because there's a story about a little boy, his name is Tino Tenda, that I think best describes this. Because his mom was so hopeless, she did something that was almost unthinkable. She threw him in a pit latrine. I mean, if you've ever been camping and think about it, what a pit toilet looks like. She chucked her one-year-old son in this toilet because she just didn't believe that there was any hope for a better future for him. And we're able, as Children's Cup, to be able to come and rescue that child out of that pit. And I think about just the pit of how nasty that is and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think about, literally, that's what child sponsorship does. It says, let me reach out my hand and grab this child out of the pit, just like my father-in-law did. Let me embrace this dirty child that is hopeless. let me stop this path of hurt and start to introduce love into this child's life.
That's great. Well, you had me at hello, so I'm ready to go. It's not hard here. And so if just walk us through, if you want to sponsor a child, whatever the Holy Spirit speaks.
What we're going to do now is we're going to ask the ushers to come down. They have a whole bunch of profiles that look just like this. And this is very simple. We've tried to make this as simple as possible. Thank you to Mission of Mercy for helping us with this.
Yeah.
There's some information about your child right here. Go ahead, ushers. Can you go ahead and come down? If you're interested, I just want to explain this to you. If you're interested, would you just slip your hand up and they'll give you a profile to take a look at? Come on, I see hands going up all over the place.
Just keep it up. They're going to find you.
Thank you for getting involved. There's a blue envelope that's right here. And all we're asking you to do today is if you would fill this information out, if you have a check or you want to put your bank card information there, you can put that there. But if you don't, you can just mark bill me later if you didn't come prepared to church today and start the relationship with this child. In just a few weeks, you'll get a letter back from this child acknowledging that you've made that kind of forever connection with this little one. So we're going to ask you to fill that out. In the end of the service today, as you walk out, we're going to have ushers at the doors to be able to collect those blue envelopes from you. And I just want to ask you this. If you take one of these today, please, 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 don't take the blue envelope home.
Yeah.
It's like kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take the blue envelope home, it takes us 3 or 4 months to realize, wait a second, the sponsor hasn't really said yes to this child yet. And it takes us a little while to connect with that child back again. So please, even if you don't want to sponsor, there's some tables out in the outside foyers that you can leave the profile. But we're praying today that you would get involved in one of these kids' lives. And an exciting part of that is there's a young lady, her name is Lindley, that has kind of come all the way through this process.
Wow.
And you know what? Here's the cool part. Lindley was one of those kids, when she was about 14 years of age, we got connected with her. And I know that there's so much information today about child trafficking. See, Lindley was the oldest girl of a family of about 5 or 6 kids. And Lindley's mom was about to make a decision in her life that would have forever changed her life. And that was to basically sell her daughter into sexual slavery for the rest of her life.
Yeah, I know we
this
had
is Lindley. She's ministering
she?
To kids. She's the one in the blue hat right there leading all the other kids.
How long have you known of her?
So we've known her for the past 6 years.
Wow.
And now she got connected to our care point. All of her family, her brothers and sisters have gotten involved. They've been fed. They've been taken care of. As she was coming to the care point, she wanted to serve, so we got her involved in serving in camps and doing all those kind of things. She attended our leadership college last year. And this year now, she said, you know what, Pastor Ben, I want to give the rest of my life for helping kids just like I was, because I didn't know there was any hope, and I want to make sure to give hope to all those people. So she's come all the way around.
That's pretty cool.
She's changing her community.
That's
what we're believing with a whole generation of kids. And thank you for getting involved in the kids' life.
Yeah, that's great. So if you've taken a packet, or if you want to think about it, pray about it for the next few minutes, Ben and Mark Plummer are going to be in our foyers with Mission of Mercy. Then also, if you're interested in adoption here locally, His Heart for Orphans also has a location in our foyer that you can connect with that. And again, I just want to encourage you, go by there, look at that, make sure you turn this in, because so that we can stay connected with that child. And I know we've done this, I think this is our third time that we've done this here. And every time it's been overwhelming, the opportunity that we've taken in ministering to people for God's heart. Let's all pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for every child. Lord, I thank you for Ben and for Mark. And Lord, we want to be a church, and we want to be families and people that we just don't talk about problems. We just don't see things on television, never get around to doing it. Lord, I thank you that today is a day that we're going to do something. So I thank you for how you've moved on hearts and lives. Lord, I thank you for the relationship that we have, Lord, with Mission of Mercy, Children's Cup. Lord, we're able to see, go and be a part of it, take trips to be able to even see the child that we sponsor, get updates so we could feel like we're a part of making a difference in their lives. Lord, it's hard to know about something, but then not respond to that. So, Lord, we thank you for grace and mercy. We thank you for our own personal resources. Lord, I thank you that you've blessed our life. Lord, you've blessed us. And God, you've blessed us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, and everybody said a good amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, ushers. Thanks so much for being a part of that. Every year we do this and going to do even more of it. I like talking about godly things like this. As I think about the opportunity to offer hope to little ones who have no hope. than to be able to make a difference and offer a home or just a meal or education or just the warmth of a roof over their head or being able to offer some sort of family to orphans or to children that are at risk, a child that is alone or helpless. Every time I think about that or I see adoption stories, I immediately go to the whole idea because it reminds me of the same overwhelming picture of God's own adoption for you and I as it relates to being in His family. You can't see that and not connect the dots to the grace that's been shown you and I. Because the truth is that each one of us are helpless. Each one of us are homeless as it relates to truth and grace and mercy. And especially without Jesus. And Jesus came, the Bible said in John chapter 1, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth to offer you and I, and we see this in this context of adoption, a chance to be adopted into His family for all of eternity. You know what I found out, friend? I found out that it's the realest thing about life beyond the grave, and that is the opportunity to be adopted by God. And the only reason it can take place is because of one word, and that is the word grace. Grace, grace, grace. We see grace on display in our life. We're in a series right now called True, Trustworthy, Real, Undeniable. Last week, as a church, we clarified that we believe the book. We believe the Bible. We believe the Bible is 100% the authority of God. It's 100% accurate. We believe it's trustworthy. We believe it's an anchor. And so as we continue along this thought, if we believe in God, then we must believe in His word. If we believe in His word, then we believe in the afterlife as it relates to heaven and hell. Today, I want to talk a little bit about this word grace and how it affects the afterlife, what's beyond the grave, grace. Because I believe there's not a realer word as we go beyond the grave in our life than the gift of grace, the gift of grace. Now, as I started preparing this week, talk a little bit about grace, being able to dive into that idea of God's gift, grace, in just one morning, in just one moment, it opens up a very large space. I started thinking about that movie Narnia, where those children are in the bedroom and they come up across on the wardrobe and they think it's just a normal wardrobe, and they go to hide in the wardrobe and they think it's just jackets and sweaters. But little do they realize that beyond the wardrobe, there is this whole world. There's this whole kingdom. And as I started studying grace, God's great gift to our life, the adoption of God, how He brings us in out of His own love, how He initiates the relationship, I thought about that wardrobe because it's hard to dive into something so vast and so large. And, you know, it's just hard to talk about it in one setting. But I'm going to do my best just to be able to talk about it for a moment, because when you take one step into the largeness and the realness of God's grace, you could spend your whole lifetime understanding God's grace into our life, because it is the deepest of deep as it relates to God's love and God's attribute and how God merits us with grace. And so it's not easy diving into it with just one setting, but we're going to take a little small part of it and talk about it for a few minutes. Did you know that grace affects everything in life? It affects everything in the here, and it also will affect everything in the there, especially as it relates to life beyond the grave. We hear a lot about that. Matter of fact, right now, we've had the end time predictions, May 21st, the end time predictions that went on. And aren't you glad we're still here today? So, you know, my word to everybody is stay ready. You never know when it's going to happen. You just stay ready, but you don't worry about a date. And it was my daughter's birthday, so we were kind of, you know, rallying around her birthday. And actually, last night, I realized, wow, it's the 21st. And I just called Brother Wayne to make sure he was still here, because he's the holiest guy I know. I didn't call Johnny. I'm just teasing. I called Brother Wayne. And then this past week, we had one of the world's smartest men, Stephen Hawkins, that made some very wrong statements as it relates to heaven being a fairy tale. He came out with a statement that out of all of his studies and all of his world of education, he's discovered that heaven is a fairy tale. So you've got to try to figure out what you believe and why do you believe. Are you going to believe Stephen Hawkins? Will you believe the word of God? You just got to kind of, are you going to bank life beyond? What are you going to bank life beyond the grave on?
Are you going to bank it on someone who's smart or on predictions? Or will you base it on something very solid as it relates to truth, truth, truth? So we're going to look at what the Bible says. And I believe the Holy Spirit can reveal to us. And really, it has to be the Holy Spirit revealing to us what the Bible says about grace. Because again, grace affects life here, and it really affects life beyond the grave, in the afterlife. Grace is the difference maker of what's going to happen in the afterlife. Three key scriptures that I will look at today as it relates to the realness of God's grace. The first one is found in Hebrews chapter 4. I'll look at three different scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4, just teaching the word, talking about digging in. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 through 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, speaking of Jesus. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus was sinless. So then the Bible says that you and I can approach the throne of grace. Turn to your neighbor and say, throne of grace. Turn to your other neighbor you didn't want to talk to and say, throne of grace. The throne of grace. One writer said, it's the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners. So we can approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You and I need grace, grace to help us in our time of need. I love this picture of a throne, a sovereign place where something is dispensed. Rulership is dispensed from a throne. And the Bible says that there's a throne of grace, that it's God's throne. It's just not an earthly throne. It's a heavenly kingdom throne. And it's a throne that grace sits on, where grace is dispensed daily to all people. While I was reading this week, I felt like the Holy Spirit really spoke this to my heart about the whole message. If there's anything we get today for a few minutes, I want you to get this. As I was reading this, that this is what awaits you and I after our last heartbeat. The throne of His grace. And the decision now is, do we trust and receive His grace? He offers you and I grace. So you will either stand before the throne of grace as you've said yes to God's grace, or you will stand before the throne of guilt, which is based on our works. Our works are good. The throne of grace or the throne of guilt. Here's my definition of grace in Jesus. It says this, that you and I owe a penalty for our sin, our failures. But grace says, I love you more, so I will pay the penalty for you. I will pay the penalty myself. That's what Jesus says this to you and I. That there's nothing you could do or cannot do to earn it. You have to accept it as an offer. The throne of grace. God's government, because of Jesus, is operated by grace. Grace was provided to us by what Jesus did on the cross. Grace was made possible because of the work of Jesus, not our works. It is false to believe that because we are a good person, that we're getting in heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach. It is totally against God's word. There's no clarity in Scripture. You have to not believe Scripture to believe that good works is the bridge. Good works is the passage. That works is the throne in heaven. Works is not the throne in heaven. The government of God, the throne in heaven, is a throne of grace. And it is grace established, provided, brought to us, sponsored by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. The cross makes it possible for you and I, after our last heartbeat, to stand before a throne of grace. That's how it works. But if we neglect, we don't accept, we say no, then we stand before the throne of guilt and the throne of good works. Let me read a couple other scriptures to you as it relates to the trueness of what is the deciding factor on the other side of the grave. Look at these verses. I love these scriptures. They're very clear. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith. Rightness comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned. There it is. All have sinned. Sin separates and falls short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So we have redemption. We are bought. We are purchased by Jesus Christ. But if we don't allow what Jesus, we don't say yes to the purchase that Jesus does for our sins, then the wages of those sin is death. Says this in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life is in Jesus Christ our Lord. God provides a gift. His son is the sacrifice to pay for the penalty of our sin. We've all sinned. We've all sinned. We've all sinned. No one is perfect. The Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not any at all. So there's a free gift of God, but then there's a wage of sin. Jesus pays that for us. It's just clear. It is a clear description of what God offers us in the way of grace. It's another great scripture, because I don't think there's anywhere that this is seen more plain than the embrace of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, I want you to hear this. This is almost too good to be true, but it is true and it is good. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, teaching the word. I want you to see these scriptures. Verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam's sin, Adam and Eve's sin. So it's passed down to all of us. Sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. There's that word, death through sin. And in this way, sin came to all men because all have sinned. There's this theme in the Bible, all have sinned. But before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is now taken into account that there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. Verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more? Now we're talking about grace. Did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? You and I live in the overflow of God's grace. It is spilled over into our life in forgiveness. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. Judgment followed one sin, brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by trespass of one man's death, one man death reigned through one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? It's repeating this theme. I want you to see that. A few more verses, verse 18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation on all men, so also the result of one man's act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. So by Adam sinning, it brought sin into the human race. And then all have sinned. We have a bent for sin. But that's not the end of the story. It doesn't stop there. It says another man came named Jesus who broke death and condemnation and guilt. We no longer have to live before the throne of guilt. He brought grace. Grace entered the picture through Jesus Christ. Verse 19. For justice through the disobedience of one man, that many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, that many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned through death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's one of my favorite pictures in Scripture. Adam brought sin. God brought Jesus. Jesus paid a price, purchased, paid the wage of sin. And all those who believe in what Christ did for us in the here and in the there receive eternal life, not because of our works, not because we're better than our brother. Can I have an amen? Not because we're not as crazy as our cousin. It's not because we've gone to church or we were baptized as a baby. Or we knew we could sing the scripture song. None, those things are fantastic, fantastical. If you're Italian and you want to speak Italian, you just add O on everything. Fantastical. They'll think you're Italian. All those things are fantastic. But none of them open up the gate of eternal life. What's beyond the grave, that when you close your eyes here, your last heartbeat, there's life beyond the grave. If you believe in God, you believe in the Word. And the Word tells us that there is life beyond the grave. One of the most eye-opening things as a pastor is speaking on a Sunday and finding out during the week that someone that you spoke to that happened to be in church, their heart stopped beating that week. That happens all the time. It happened several times this week. That someone that was in church last week or the week before or at Easter was here. And you got to talk about grace and mercy and the truth of Jesus Christ. That for you and I, it seems so far away. But yet for that person, it's not as far as they think. Can I have a good amen? And the reality of life beyond the grave, the reality of the responsibility and the opportunity to point someone to the answer, to point someone to God's solution and a peace that you and I can know that there is someone that has paid the price for our sins, that the separation that we create no longer has to keep us trapped because of God's grace. I want to finish up, and I want to try to capture this scripture for you and I as a help. Something I saw this week that helped me understand and kind of grasp it a little bit better. I want us to, for a moment, picture that you and I are in a dungeon. A cage. We're trapped for a few minutes. I want you to mentally, kind of in your mind's eye, go there with me. We even have this picture up on the screen that can help us to kind of bring us to that dark place. This dungeon is a lonely, it's an isolated, it's a cold place. It's a place where there's no escape and it's a trap. There are chains that bind us within the dungeon, and then there's chains on the door. And we could try to fight our way out. We could try to work our way out. But we're stuck. And there's nothing that feels more tormented than feeling stuck. Knowing that this place is separation. It represents the separation, this dungeon, what I've described for you. It represents the separation between us and God. As Romans talked about, the wages of sin is death, separation. The Bible teaches us right here, to give it an illustration to help us. It tells us we are born locked in a dungeon, eternal separation from God. And what's in that dungeon is greed and hate and envy and anger and malice and gossip and lust. It lurks all inside the dungeon. The walls of that dungeon holds guilt, holds shame, holds failure. And the reality is there's no way out, only judgment and condemnation. You can't even be good enough to get out of this dungeon. Everyone must pay the penalty of their sin. There's no hope for freedom. The future is death and pain and bondage and sorrow. That's our future. And you and I are in that dungeon. We're locked in it. We are trapped. We have no chance. Death is our future. Sin has caged us in. Sin has bound us so tight that we cannot escape. And the price to, and the price of freedom is way too high. You and I can never come up with it. Sin stands at the door and guards it for Satan himself. But then the Bible says that Jesus shows up. Says to sin, says to Satan, what are you going to do with all these people? Why are all those people in there? What's their future? And sin speaks back to Jesus and says, they are all doomed forever. But then Jesus speaks up and it echoes throughout all of eternity. How much to buy all of them back?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Jesus paid the price. He paid the price for all of us. What we couldn't pay, He paid.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.